Turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. This is my first ever Jackson Conference in any way, shape, or form. It's a pleasure to be here. If you missed this morning, make sure you get the CDs. It'll be good for your soul. Thanks again for coming to this conference, and we trust that the Word of God will be real to all of us today. Exodus chapter 21, please. Begin at verse number 2. Exodus 21, verse 2, if thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Psalm, please, number 40. Psalm number 40, the Psalm of David. We'll just take time to start at verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Now that word open means dig or bored. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will. O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. And finally to the book of Romans, please. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Lord will bless to us the reading of his word and what we've listened to this morning. My burden for this conference will go right along with our brother Andrew's message. He talked about communication. And what's been on my mind is the little simple phrase to plainly speak, to speak plainly. And so as we consider this story of the Hebrew servant in Exodus 21, I'd like to focus on the statement that this man makes. It's really a twofold statement. He says, I love my master and my wife and my children. And he says, I will not go out free. You know, it is something in life as you look around, people of every shape and form are trying to make a statement. They're trying to make an impression. They're trying to convey a message. And as we consider this servant, this is really my point, and I want to say it lest I forget to get to it. To speak plainly. Speak plainly. We come to this servant, and first of all, we need to acknowledge that he is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think of the Lord Jesus in heaven as he comes to this earth as the perfect servant, completely manifesting his love to the Father and to God, and his love to the people of earth, to the mankind, and the blood that was shed, and the suffering that he went through, and the sacrifice that he made. Wonderful picture of the servant, God's perfect servant, the one that was his delight, his perfect servant. But this is also a picture of the Christian. And as we consider this as the Christian this afternoon and speaking plainly, I've been examining myself and I slur my speech in my Christian experience. The way I live sometimes doesn't match up with what I say, and that's not really speaking plainly. I'd like to look at a few things about this servant, though, first, as taking him as the Christian. He had an undeniable and unquestioned liberty. He could go free. He could go free. But how did he become a servant in the first place? How did he get there? Generally speaking, the Hebrews had become servants in two ways. Either it was poverty, and you'll read about that in Leviticus chapter 25, or they committed a crime in the next chapter, Exodus 22, and they were sold to be a servant. And when I think of those two things, I think of poverty and I think of crime, it reminds me of what I was, and it reminds you of what you were before you were saved. The poverty that you were in, and no way could pay the debt of sin that you owed. No way. And the crimes and the sins against God that you had committed, and what those sins deserved. And there was a price that was paid by another. And these people became the servant because of the poverty, because of the crime that they could not pay. And so as we go through this, I want to remind our hearts continually, brethren and sisters, remember the poverty that you came from. Remember the sins that you were delivered from. Remember the value of the blood that was shed so that you could be free. It'll do you in good stead every day of your life to remember the day that God saved you and to dwell upon the love of Christ and the price that was paid so that you could be free. So this man here, he has an unquestioned liberty. He has served his time. The price was paid. He had served his 6 years, and now he can go out free. And I was thinking of this last week. It just happened to be Valentine's week. No connection really whatsoever, but as this was on my mind, when Valentine's come around, he says, "I will not go out free. I love my master, my wife, and my children." But he had to speak it plainly. Plainly. You see what's happening to us as God's people is we're not playing anymore. We were reminded that in the gospel, the preaching of the gospel this morning. And we make the cross of Christ of none effect by wisdom of words sometimes. And sometimes it gets watered down and the cross of Christ becomes none effect. And in our gospel preaching, sometimes it's just not clear to be honest about it. Sometimes our ministry isn't clear. It's kind of like the preaching of the speaking in tongues, isn't it, in Corinthians 14. It's given an uncertain sound. It's just not plainly said. Sometimes when we listen to testimonies, if you go to young people's groups and you listen to testimonies, sometimes you'll hear testimonies that aren't really clear. One in particular, you listen to young people and they were saved and they've been under conviction of sin. And, you know, you're just listening to it and you're just waiting for that moment when God revealed Christ to them. And they get to that point and they say, "It clicked." You've heard that before. What does that mean? Does that mean the person behind them clicked the pen? That's not clear. And we keep in mind as we're giving our testimony that the person next to me not saved perhaps wants to be saved, and there's not enough in that story for a person to be saved. It's not clear. And so as we consider this man, if he will plainly say. So he has an unquestioned liberty. He has an unequal choice to make. There he is. What's he going to do? Is he going to take his liberty and go? Leave his master and leave his wife and leave his children? It's an unequal choice. Unequal because of the magnitude of it, really, isn't it? If I stay and if I commit myself to my master, I'm his forever. And I am submitting my liberty and I am submitting my will entirely to another. And it's a massive choice. It's unequaled. But it's really unequaled in the simplicity of the choice. There was only one right decision. And as I thought this past week of my wife and my kids, If you're a young dad, I want you to think about this. I've got a 9 and an 8 and a 4. And maybe we're not going on for God like we ought to be. And here's my wife and my children's, and they're the Lord's. What if I choose to go the other way? What if I live my life for myself? What if I want to go in for business? What if I want to go in for the things that I want to do? After all, I'm free. I can do that. Young dad today, what's it going to be? You know, I thought of putting myself in that situation. And I can just see the reaction of my wife and my kids. They're going to serve the Master. They want to serve the Master. And I can see, if I was the one to make the choice, I'm going to stay. I can see my little kids jumping up and down for joy, really not understanding the consequences of it, but just knowing this, that Daddy is here and we're going to serve together. And I can see a godly wife. And she comes up to her husband and she puts her arm around him and her hand on his chest and lays her head on his shoulder. And she is just thrilled that they're going to serve God together. They're going to serve the Master together. And so a choice that is unequaled. But you've got a Master that is unrivaled. There's none like this man's Master. There's none. None to be compared with him. And you know, the person, the man who stays, the man who goes to the doorpost to get his ear bored through with an awl, he trusts the Master, doesn't he? He's going to stay because he absolutely trusts him to take care of him, to meet his needs. And he trusts his Master more than he trusts himself. Wouldn't that be a good place to be? Where our confidence in the Lord and our confidence in God is greater than our confidence in ourselves. And he's going to stay because he trusts him. And he's going to stay because he loves him. And I'm not just talking to men here today. You go to Deuteronomy 15 and there's a little picture of the maidservant also. And so a master that is unrivaled in character. A master that is unrivaled in care and in compassion. A master to be linked with forever that is unrivaled in his consistency. The person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope that whets your appetite a little bit. If he shall plainly say. To be clear. To be bold in speech. To be consistent in speech, to plainly say, to plainly speak. Do you know how to speak plainly if you love the Lord today? What is it that a Christian can do? As we go through the New Testament, that is a direct, plain statement that we love the Lord. One of them was read already this morning. If we truly love the Lord, we'll not only verbalize it, but we will keep His commandments. You'll find that in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. To keep His commandments and keep His word. And so here I am a Christian and I love the Lord. And if I'm going to speak plain, I'm going to keep His commandment. I'm going to keep His word. And I am genuine in love with the Lord. But if I say that I love the Lord and I don't keep His word, is that speaking plainly? No, that's muttered, isn't it? That's complete opposite. And so I profess to love the Lord and I do not want to keep His word. In fact, maybe I change His word to fit my will and my desires and my thinking. But the plain speech, the plain communication to the Lord is that we obey His commandments and we keep His word. Precious the commandments of God to us. That includes but is not limited to my attendance to meeting. You know, when you were dating or courting, or maybe you are now, and maybe that's the reason you came to this conference, is because your significant other was going to be here. You wouldn't miss it for a heartbeat. Used to travel halfway across the country, and some of you have done that today, just because they were going to be there. Why? Because of warm, fuzzy, bubbly feelings inside every time you think about them, and you just want to be there. But when it comes to the meeting, we make excuse. I talked with a dear woman back in Wisconsin. She's a helper. She's a worker. But she's starting to miss meeting. And so I went and I visited her, and I called her by name, and I said, you know, what's going on? And she said, I'm so busy. And what she's really doing is she's making herself busy. And she's scheduling things for Wednesday night so she doesn't have to come to meeting. And she's organizing things for Sunday afternoon so she can leave early Sunday morning. And she's doing it on purpose. And she said, the Lord understands. Maybe you've said that or thought that. Yes, the Lord does understand. He's understanding that she's loving something else over him. We're going to get to making a statement in just a little bit. But what is it do you love more than meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ? And I understand there's shift work and all this stuff. But I'm talking about when we organize something, when we already know where the Lord is going to be. I love the Lord, but I don't want to meet with Him. I love the Lord, but I've got this to do. Brethren, we need to speak plainly to Him. That our words and our actions, they line up. That we love Him by keeping His commandments. We love Him, as it was read to us this morning, by feeding His sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And to overseers and teaching brethren, how many times have we gone to meeting with nothing to say? And there's that awkward long pause. I'm guilty of that over and over and over. Nothing to say to God's people. Nothing to give to the flock of God. Just nothing there. And so if I love the Lord, I'm going to feed His sheep. I'm going to keep His commandments. And I'm going to love the brethren. Love the brethren. I met with a man 3 weeks ago on a Friday night. He's not from the assemblies. He's a pastor, actually a co-pastor of a conservative church north of us. He might be saved, Lord knows. But their church just all of a sudden dissolved. We went out for supper with him. Got to know him over the years. And I said, Marv, what happened? He said, there's so much there for people to go in for and no commitment to Christ. He said, there's so much that the devil introduces. And so I said, Marv, what was the doctrine that led everybody astray? This church went from 30-some people or 40-some people down to 3 overnight. And he looked at his wife. And she looked at him and she said, it wasn't one doctrine. And I said, what was it? He said, it was lack of commitment to Christ and it was lack of brotherly love. Does that describe your assembly? If you're in the local assembly, are you committed to the local assembly? Speak plainly now. Be honest with ourselves now. There's so much potential in this room just today. To think that one soul available for God, committed to Christ, bowing their will to the will of God, could accomplish more. Could accomplish more for God than hundreds of people. Are we speaking plainly? To love the brethren. Loving the brethren is hard. Sometimes. It's easy to love those that love you. And sometimes you talk to people and they they're disgruntled with a brother or a sister, and this brother or sister, they just haven't figured out how to love me. They haven't figured out how to love me. They're not meeting my needs, and they're not figuring out. And this is, I'm going to leave the assembly because the people there just don't love me. Maybe God is trying to teach them the lesson that they need to love their brother. But if we are going to speak plainly that we love the Lord, we're going to love the brethren. And Thessalonians tells us that God has taught us how to love the brethren. And we find it in the work of Christ, don't we? We love those that hate us. We love those that reject us. We love them anyway. We love them for who they are and whose they are. They're those for whom Christ has died. And so there's a plainness of speech to keep His commandments and to feed His sheep and to love the brethren. I love my master. I love my master. I love my wife and my children. So what's the statement that he's making? He says, I will not go out free. I will not go. I'm not going to go. You see, he had fallen in love with a man that had paid a great price for him. He had fallen in love with a man with a great care for him. It's proven that he gave him a wife. It's proven that he's been taken care of. And he's not going to go. You know, when they went out in Deuteronomy 15, they went out with a supply of goods to get him started. They were that the master was to send them away with provisions that were from the flock. And that would speak to us of something for sacrifice. They were sent out so they had something to sacrifice and so that there wouldn't be a break in worship. And they were sent out with that from the flock. And they were sent out with that from the floor, which was to speak of their food, the grain. They were not to go away hungry. And they were sent out with that from the winepress. That would speak to us of joy. And so when the servant could go free, he would have this to get started. But the person that stayed, he didn't just have the supply, he had the source of the supply. He had the master with the storehouses that were filled and that would never run out. And he says, I love my master. I love him. I will not go out free. What statement is made when that person goes away? There's the man and he decides, I'm going to leave my wife. They're in good hands with the master. And I'm going to go and I'm going to do my own thing. And just to mention this on the way by about the kids. There's a trend during gospel series that I've been involved in the last 2 years, where sometimes parents don't bring their kids. Brethren, bring your kids. Bring them if they're 6 months old and they're squeaking all the time. Bring them along. And if the preaching brethren can't handle the squeaking kid, they should be able to handle them. Bring the kids. Speak plainly. It's amazing to me. 6 nights a week, and sometimes kids are there on Sunday and Wednesday night just because mom and dad are there on Sunday and Wednesday night. If you can't get there, call someone. They'll bring them for you. Get them to the gospel meeting. Get them there. At all costs, get them there. Before you blink, they'll be out of the house. And so he says, I'm going to go out. I'm going to leave your wife and I'm going to leave your kids with the master and I'm going to go do my thing. What statement is he making? What impact is he making? What he's saying is this, that master is not worth my time. That master is not worth my devotion. It's a reflection on the master, isn't it? It's a direct reflection on the one that paid the price for him and to say, I'm leaving. I'm going to do my own thing. Thanks for bailing me out. Maybe I'll see you later, maybe I won't. And away they go. And it's a reflection on his love for his wife and for his children. You know that's the statement he's making? I am the most self-centered, selfish individual in this group. His focus is all on himself. His focus is all on his liberties. His focus is all on his freedom. And he's missed the point. He's missed it. That's the statement that is made. But the man that stays, what statement does he make? I tried to picture this in my mind. Maybe you put yourself in the story when you read your Bible too. But here I am, I'm one of the judges at the gate, or whatever door it is that they go to. I take it, it'd be the gate perhaps of the city, or maybe to the master's own house. It doesn't really matter. But there I am, and this master brings his servant down to the judges there. And the man says, I love my master, I love my wife, I'm going to stay. And they go through, and the master bores his ear through with the awl, and the deed is done. The next day, same judges are there at the gate. The master brings another servant down. We'll call this one David. David's got something to tell you, man. David says, I love my master, my wife, and my children. I'm going to stay. And maybe the next day there's a maidservant and she's going to stay, if that was possible, but you'll allow me the application. And so on and so on and so on. What statement is being made? Is it that these people that love their master are such good people that they're going to stay, and they're such devout Christians, and they're such good spiritual people that they're going to stay? Is that the statement that's being made? No. The statement that's being made is that the master is so great. That the master is so marvelous, and he is so wonderful, and he is so sufficient that I don't need anything else but him. That's the statement. It's glorifying the master. Marvelous. And there's the judges. And I can just see it. Time and time and time again. There they go. And there's the people, and they're thinking, I wish he was my master. I wonder if he could buy me. I wonder how to get into that family. The statement is being made. You see, the man who stays and surrenders his liberty. He surrenders his liberty in full commitment and full devotion to Christ. It makes a statement. It makes an impact. And if we want to make an impact in this world and with our life, what is our life? You know how we're going to make the impact. It's going to be commitment and devotion to Christ that glorifies Him. And when the eyes are turned off of us and they're turned onto Him, and He gets the glory, and others see Him and they want Him. But our gospel testimony is weak because our speech that we're loving the Lord is weak. If that's all He means to you, well, then why do I want Him? You know what I'm talking about. If really that's all He means to a man that's a born-again Christian, that's really not any different than me. I go to church and I go to work and I do all my things in between. But His absolute surrender of His liberty, His absolute submission to the will of God, is what brings impact. Because when the liberty is surrendered and the will is submissive, what takes place. That soul is now available for God to use. Now God can use that person. Because they're completely devoted to Him. And they've surrendered to His will. And so, it is a testament, an attribute really, of highest worship. You think of the Lord Jesus in His worship. The giving of Himself. The greatest act of worship upon this earth that has ever been seen. When the Lord Jesus Christ offered Himself without spot to God. And there He glorified God in all of His magnificence. And He satisfied God wholly. And He submitted Himself to the judgment of God for sin. And He satisfied the throne of heaven. And He worshiped. And you and I, when we give Christ His rightful place, when we speak plainly, we worship plainly. When we speak plainly, when we surrender ourselves to His, to Him, and our will to His will, is it not, brethren, the highest act of worship we can do? To present ourselves a living sacrifice unto God. To be bought with a price. We are not our own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirits, which are His. God, help us to speak plainly. God, help us to be honest. And God, help us to glorify His Son as one by one. When that time comes in our life and we're faced with this choice, do I stay or do I go? The only place we go is to the doorpost with the Master. To serve Him forever. We know it's a day-by-day thing. But it'd be a marvelous conference if our hearts were challenged today. Even as you heard the stories of the missionaries, did it not swell up in your heart that I wish I could see God work like that? Speak plainly.